All glory to the assembly of devotees. God Premanande Haribo.
Give something to Kuni. She's going to leave wherever she is. I have some in my bag in my room. There's some beads. Could you
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Just in case there's any gaps, that'll be our tune. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who saved me. He went out of his way, came all the way to America on a boat, and he brought books because he knew that would do it. And I was sitting in my room wondering how to find out about the truth in life. And my friend Richie Corsa from high school brought me a Back to Godhead magazine. And then I knew for sure what the truth in life was and how to find it. I knew everything about it because of the book, because of Srila Prabhupada. He brought it. He put it together. He made the campaign. He spread it everywhere. And then he left us with some service. And that's big service. And to distribute knowledge, this is Jnana Agni. It can burn unlimited amounts of fuel, one little fire. And the fire of knowledge can save everyone in the world. There's nothing more important than the distribution of transcendental knowledge. There's lots of knowledge in the world. But it has got to be transcendental knowledge to be effective. Indriyani Prayanyahur Indriyebhya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabudhir Yobude Paratastu Saha. Lowest of all are the senses. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. And above the intelligence is the soul. And the soul is starving in the material world for contact with Krishna. My friend Satyadev Prabhu worked as a paramedic in San Francisco for 20 years. They get 911 calls all day long. And a percentage of those calls every week would be from people who were so lonely they could not stand it for one second more. With a shaking hand, they would pick up the phone and they would dial emergency 911. Please send somebody. I need another soul to come and talk to me. And he would go to that house and sit down with that person who was shut in and alone, suffering, and talk, and their spirit would begin to come up. But I propose that everyone in the material world is like that. Some may think temporarily that I'm okay, but no one's okay in this world because we're missing Krishna. The representative of Krishna rises every morning in the form of the sun, and everyone comes alive. Every living creature comes alive when the sun comes up. And when the sun goes down, everyone goes to sleep. Why? We can't stand it. Electric lights keep us up now, but we can't stand it without the sun. Without Krishna's association in this universe, the body just shuts down. Nothing works. And without Krishna, the soul shuts down, and that's the condition in the material world, asleep, disconnected. But transcendental knowledge comes and reawakens the soul, reconnects to Krishna, the pictures, the mantras. Maya mugda jivaranahi swata Krishna gyan. Jivara kripa koil, Krishna Veda Puran. Lord Chaitanya taught this. This is his teaching. He said that Veda Vyas has specifically come to bring the books. It's the books, the books, the books. The books of knowledge that awaken the soul. Souls are smart. They're part of Krishna. They know when they see transcendental knowledge. When they read a mantra in a book, one word, one line, it changes their life because they're souls. They know it when they hear the mantra. Yirabaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo drisham tatvandanam apiti drishiti bhakti parayanim. Rupa Goswami says, hearing the Maha Mantra, a person completely asleep will awaken to bhakti. And these are written kirtan, these books. They're written kirtan. They change whole societies. Societies are changed by their literature. Literature is the foundation of any society. And when you distribute a book, it's all kinds of thoughts that have been put together in one place. People take it seriously. They see a book, they'll read it, and they'll take it as an authority. And in the case of getting the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and taking it seriously, it means their life will change. Even if for 1 second they say, this is a book, someone took the trouble to put it together, let me take it seriously. For 5 seconds, and they open and they read one word, one line, their life has changed. And Prabhupada said that. And it's a fact, because they're a soul. And when they hear transcendental knowledge, when they read transcendental knowledge, they know it. And if they don't know it, then they get a jata sukriti. Unknown sukriti. It goes in and it never comes out again. It's eternal benefit, eternal credit. There's nothing more valuable than the transcendental literature distribution. And that is the basis of our Krishna consciousness movement. To distribute mass quantities of books and to hear and chant from those books. They're codes. They're codes that liberate us from this material world. And as we become more liberated from hearing those codes ourselves, our enthusiasm to give them to others increases. Because when you have the medicine and you know that there's an epidemic, you feel duty-bound to distribute it. If I'm sick myself and I don't realize the cure, I don't think it's that important. But if I'm realizing the cure by taking it myself and seeing that this is a dangerous situation we're in here, I have to get out very quickly. You have to cheat death before death cheats you. And when I realize that, then my drive to distribute that medicine becomes unstoppable. And there's no technique. So the seminar's over. Thank you for coming. There's no technique except that if your house is burning down, you run to the neighbors and you wave your arms. You don't speak Farsi. You speak English, but your neighbors only speak Farsi. So how do you tell them your house is burning down? Neil, how do you tell them? Neil, show us how you tell your neighbors the house is burning down. You're going to have to jump up and do something radical. Come on, jump on up. There's Neil. Yeah. You're going to jump, you're going to scream, you're going to make a sign, you're going to light a match and hold it up and point to your house, right? Wouldn't you do that if all your valuables were in the house or your loved ones were in the house and it was burning down? That's how you distribute a book. That's a simple process. If I'm reading the book and I'm appreciating that this is the most important knowledge anywhere in the universe, that it saved me, and that this is the most valuable, precious thing. It's a deity in written form. Then I'm going to jump up and run out. And it doesn't matter who speaks what language. I'm going to distribute the book. I'll fall on my knees. I'll roll on the ground. That's what Lord Nityananda did. He'd knock on the door and he'd roll on the floor. And we'll try that today when we go door to door. Because it'll probably work if you're sincere. So the seminar today is about Sankirtan sadhana. Sadhana means spiritual practice. It means how we improve ourselves step by step spiritually. And first and foremost, we're doing this service for our own purification. Forget about saving the world. Forget about getting a score. Forget about doing anything else. Just purify yourself. Our motto is, save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. And if we keep that attitude, we stay hungry and humble. Hungry and humble. Save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. Then Sankirtan is a joy. We're going out as an instrument. We're going out because it's the right thing to do. Don't worry what you do, how you do it. Just go out and be an ambassador of goodwill. Bring the message of goodwill that's coming from the spiritual world. If you've realized something, you can pass it on to others. You have some overflow to give to others. And when you do, take this out. Take the trouble to go outside your comfort zone. And it is outside the comfort zone. To go out into public, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't guarantee what's going to happen. And that's why I like it. Because when you become comfortable being outside your comfort zone, that's the real thing. When you're comfortable in your comfort zone, that's dangerous. But become uncomfortable being in your comfort zone and become comfortable being outside your comfort zone. Does that make sense? I hope so. Sadhana. It means always thinking of Krishna. There's only two rules. Out of all the rules in devotional service, there's only two rules. What are they? Number one is? But say it a little louder. The first rule is always remember Krishna. And the second rule is? Never forget Krishna. So all the other rules that are in the Vedas, all the other rules that are in the Vaishnava scriptures, everything and all of them are a servant of these two rules. And when you go on Sankirtan, it's the best kind of sadhana because you never forget Krishna. You go knock on a door and your heart starts pounding. And then what do you do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because you're just dependent on Krishna. You don't know what's going to happen. So you have to say, Krishna, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to say. I have no idea. So please, you help me. And that dependence on Krishna, always thinking of Krishna and distributing Krishna's book, and then someone will say, what is it? And then you have to speak up for Krishna. And that's how you become Krishna's friend. You become Krishna's friend by distributing his message. Don't you think he'd be... that's a friendly act to go out and tell people, hey, I have a friend. His name's Krishna. That's how you become friendly to Krishna. That's how you become intimate with Krishna. You spread his message. You give his book. If you hook up with an author and you say, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend the rest of my life distributing your book. I don't care what happens, if it rains or it snows or it's hot outside. Anything happens, I'm selling your book. And I'm going to go door to door and I'll do everything I can to make sure your book gets out there into the world. It's the last thing I ever do. I'll make sure everyone on the planet gets your book. And I'll die trying. Do you think that person would like you? Yes or no? So that's what we're doing. Krishna's a person. He's the Supreme Personality of God. And he's got a book. He put a book out. What do you got there? Well, a book by one of my best friends. He put it out and we're making it available here in the neighborhood today. Where does he live? 3765, what is this? 3764 Watseke. He's over there. You can come meet him. He'll be there on Sunday. You can come by. Yeah, here's his book. I'm just representing him. So this is sadhana. It connects us to Krishna. It makes us think of Krishna. It takes us outside our comfort zone. So it is high sadhana. Book distribution is high sadhana. Everyone please say, book distribution is high sadhana. Say. But really emphasize, go, book distribution is high sadhana. A little more enthusiasm. Book distribution is high sadhana. So if someone catches you outside walking down the street, they say, you went to that seminar? What was it all about? You reel back and you go, book distribution is high sadhana. So I catch you outside the door. You're walking down the street and I grab you and say, so what was that crazy guy talking about? What was the seminar all about? And you say, that's right. Book distribution is high sadhana. So that's why we're doing it. It's high sadhana. We're going out for Krishna, to connect with Krishna, to be closer to Krishna, to think of Krishna. Forget about everything else. That's all you have to do. Just try. And Prabhupada wrote to Dayananda and Nandarani. He said, if you just try to do this one activity of telling other people about Krishna, you will get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. And that's the reason to go out, to try to distribute Krishna consciousness. You don't even have to be successful. Don't even worry about distributing a book. You don't even have to do that. You just have to try. Just go out and be an ambassador of goodwill, and whatever happens is up to Krishna. Is that okay? That's easy, right? And I'll give you another mantra that will take all your fears and anxieties of book distribution away forever. Once you say this, you'll be empowered to do book distribution in a jolly mood for the rest of your life. Would you like to try it? I'm not convinced that you really want to try it. Do you want to try it? I'm still not convinced. All right, please repeat after me. Sit up straight. Take a deep breath. Book distribution
is fun and easy.
Now please say it all together.
Book distribution is fun and easy.
Do you feel better? I know I do. Book distribution is fun and easy. Now, the sadhana of book distribution. Speak to the soul. Everyone's a soul. And if you just speak to the soul, you'll remain Krishna conscious all day long. One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality, one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? One who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. And we go out to meet people. Don't talk to the body. Don't even notice the body. Just talk to the soul. Because the soul will listen. Even when someone is in a coma, even when someone is in a womb, the soul hears. The soul is more subtle than the intelligence, more subtle than the mind, and it knows. It can pick up the vibration of a well-wisher. When Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb and Narada Muni was speaking to him as he was in the womb, he became a pure devotee because of the well wishes of Narada Muni. The soul is so subtle, so powerful, that it picks up the vibration. What to speak? Just in this room we can pick up vibrations on the gross level. But the vibration that comes from someone who wants to do good for another is the most powerful vibration in the world. People respond to it right away. There's a facade in the service industry that I want to do something for you. But we all know you're getting paid. There may be some goodwill behind it, but still, it's tit for tat. Anybody here work? You go to a job? Yeah? You have a boss? What's your name? Fred. Do you have a boss that you work for? May I have permission to prove that you don't work for a boss? Okay. What's your boss's name? Okay, we'll call him Steve. You go in on Monday and you say, Steve, he says to you that we'd like you to keep coming in. We really like your work. Just one thing, we're not going to pay you anymore. Will you keep coming in? Okay. He's out. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand for being honest there. In the world, we're indentured servants practically. We work for other things to keep alive here in the material world. So when someone goes in as an ambassador of goodwill, just to do a favor for someone, not with any expectation in return, then the soul understands, and there's a very powerful reciprocation that takes place. So keep this in mind, that we're speaking to souls when we go out. Souls in the bodies of trees, in the bodies of animals, in the bodies of human beings. Everywhere we go, we can make this vibration. This is Samkirtan. Yet sat saravata saravada. In the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna says that this should go on in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. There's no place where you can't perform this transcendental activity. Yet syat saravata saravada. Everywhere. Next is speak as a soul. Remember that you're a transcendental living entity. and that you're part and parcel of Krishna. Mamayvamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manakshashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. We're parts and parcels of Krishna, and we're simply his servants. So you don't have to worry about anything. Why? Krishna's suridam sarvabhutanam. He's our best friend. And we're doing his work. Nothing to worry about. Just do what Krishna says and do Krishna's work, and your life is perfect. There's nothing to want and nothing to worry about. Krishna will take care of everything. Speak as a soul. Speak on behalf of Krishna. Practice the austerities of speech. This is the opportunity. Well, there's always an opportunity. When we're here in our family home, in our apartments, you have family members, you have spouse, you may have children, you may have relatives, friends. Employ the austerities of speech. What are they? Make your speech truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and non-agitating. These are what Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, when you go out to meet people, when you're practicing doing it inside in your own house, in your own family, in your own community, using these austerities of speech, we just go out as this high sadhana to practice these austerities of speech when we meet other people. You speak to them truthfully, in a pleasing way. Speak words which are beneficial to them, and then are non-agitating. If you practice these austerities of speech when you're in your house, when you're in your community, when you're with your friends, and then when you go out to meet people who you've never met before, and you practice austerities of speech, you'll be welcome everywhere you go because of the way you're conducting your speech. Our prime directive when going out. Everyone please say, try it again. 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 One more time. Now, I have a question for everyone here. What is our prime directive? And if I told you a mantra, leave everyone with good impression, what would you say it is? Our prime directive? Our prime directive is? And what should we do when we go out to meet people? And if someone asks you, what was one thing you remember from the seminar? When they grab you when you walk out the door and they grab you by the arm and they say, what was going on in there? I want to know one thing that you learned. You'll say? And you'll leave that person with a good impression, right? So try this for the next 24 hours. Leave everyone with a good impression. Every cat, every dog, every child, every person you talk to on the phone, every person you meet at the store. How would you do that? Say if you went to the store and you wanted to have an extraordinary exchange at the store. You wanted to leave the person behind the counter with a good impression. What would you do? You have some ideas here. I can tell by that gasp. Go ahead. Where's our microphone? We need the remote. Here it comes. How would you leave the person behind the counter, the clerk, with a good impression? Give us one idea.
I will just be happy and show that I'm happy. And then if the person will be interested, I will show why I'm happy. And I will probably say something about Krishna.
Be happy, show the person you're happy, and then tell them something about Krishna. Is that microphone on? May we have a technician here, please? Okay. Savas is the temple president and technician. Okay, who else has an idea? Bring a potty. That would leave a good impression? Okay. Invite him to the temple. Badarayana Prabhu.
Just simply be yourself. yourself and be friendly with them by asking how they're doing, maybe make a little joke with them. Just kind of be light and fun with them, and like that. Just kind of show that you care about them by joking around or something about them. Very simple.
Very nice. Thank you. Nirkula, you had your hand up? Show appreciation and gratitude.
For
that. Nice. For what they're doing. Okay. And back, and then we'll come up to you. Sankirtan?
Okay. If you don't have money, I can give you this book for making peace. So, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay.
So, give them a book?
Yeah, for a piece of candy.
For a piece of candy. All right. We'll try that today and see how that goes. Yeah, up front. Larry, right?
Larry.
Yeah. Larry. Back to Larry.
I was going to say give him inspiration and knowledge.
Give him some inspiration and knowledge, yes. How about, yes, Bhattarayana.
I think the most fun thing to do is, and I do this a lot, is just say, hey, I want to teach you the ultimate party chair, the ultimate victory chair. Would you be willing to learn this chair? Most people go, yeah, sure. And then you get them to chant the mantra.
Get them to chant the mantra. Very nice.
And then I just have a really simple explanation. They love it.
Beautiful. Savas.
Go up to someone and shake their hand very nicely and say, how are you doing? I'm so very happy to meet you.
Wow. These are great ideas. What if we just sat around all day thinking up ways to leave a good impression with people? Go ahead.
With a big smile, immediately capture anyone.
Big smile.
Yeah, big smile. It's like, oh, it's someone who is appreciating you, is happy to meet you. So, good morning. How are you doing?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. You moved to a new town. You open a bank account. You don't know any of the tellers or any of the people of the bank. But the first day when you open your account, you bring a cookie and you give it to the teller. And then she says, oh, thank you very much. And a week later, you come back to make a deposit, hopefully. And you bring another cookie and you give her another cookie. And she said, oh, that cookie you gave me last time was really nice. Thank you very much. And she's amazed by this time. But the third time you come and you give her a cookie, she said, who are you? And then you can take out a book and say, here, I teach this kind of yoga, the yoga of gratitude, and this is for you. All of these ways of communicating with people are all about leaving a good impression, just opening people's hearts. And if you concentrate on this and how to leave people with a good impression, then it opens the way everywhere you go for giving people transcendental knowledge. It opens their hearts, opens their minds. Here are some basic rules for communication. These work universally. First thing is tune in to the right radio station. Do you all listen to this station? WIIFM? Yesho, do you listen to this radio? Anyone listen to this radio station? I think you all do, actually. This is called radio station What's In It For Me? WIIFM, What's In It For Me? So this is the radio station, according to Shukadev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The most interesting topic for everyone in the universe is myself. If you're in a crowded room and all of a sudden you hear your name being spoken at the other end of the room, somehow there's an extra sense and you hear that and you go, oh, how interesting. Dale Carnegie said, there's no more pleasant sound to any human being than the sound of his or her own name. If you remember somebody's name, Bhakta Larry, then immediately there's a connection. And you have to remember, people want to know, what's in it for me? So you have to keep that in mind, that we're offering something, we're giving something to others. Here's a rule that will help save you years in your life. Are you ready for this rule?
Yes.
The first rule in dealing with fanatics. We'll try this again. The first rule for dealing with fanatics, don't. Yeah. There's a definition in the dictionary of what a fanatic is. For homework, I recommend that you look it up. And then when you find somebody who's fanatical, don't deal with them. According to Shastra, you're not responsible for dealing with people who are envious or who are against your cause or who are fanatical. They don't want to hear. They're not innocent. They're not open to your message. It's not your duty. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
Makes me feel better. We're going out on a fruit-picking mission. When you go out to pick fruits, so let's say today we're going out to pick mangoes, and we go to the mango grove. We look on the tree to pick the mangoes, and the first ones we go for are the green ones that are stuck to the tree. And we grab a hold of those green mangoes, and we pull as hard as we can. And if they're still stuck to the branch, we put a full weight on it and bring the branch down if we can and drag it across town. And until we force that green mango to come off the branch. Right? Is that correct? Is that correct? Is that how to pick mangoes?
No.
Yeah, that's how to pick mangoes, right?
No.
That's how to pick mangoes, right?
No.
Is that the right way to pick mangoes?
No.
I'm not convinced. Is it the right way to pick mangoes?
No.
Okay, it's not. Which mangoes do I look for?
The right ones.
What do they look like?
Yellow.
They're yellow, they're orange, they're what? They're soft. They're soft. They smell good. You can see a ripe mango on the tree. It's Krishna's arrangement. He makes them turn a certain color, say it's done. It's like, ding, this one's ripe. Right? You can tell. So when you're a good mango picker, you go, you get a sense for it. You know, you might reach up and grab and feel a little bit. Say, is this soft yet? Does it come off in my hand? Is it easy to pick? Is it ripe yet? So all you have to do when you go out to meet people is find the ripe fruits. Find the ripe mangoes. You don't have to grab onto the green mango and pull it off the vine with all your might and drag it down the street, do you? No! You don't have to. That makes life easier. Just look for the ripe mangoes. Next is become a master asker. Now here's a universal rule of communication. You see this question mark? That's the most powerful punctuation mark in the English language. If you write somebody a 20-page email, they are not obligated to reply to you unless you include in the course of that 20 pages one question mark. And then they'll lose sleep because they think, I have to answer him now. Why? Because of this guy right here, that little question mark. It means you have to answer. And the question mark is one of the most powerful tools in communication. A question mark can be, a question can be a hook. You've heard of this, right? Have you heard of this? See, I'm bringing you in. I'm using a hook. By asking a question, you're leading the conversation in the direction that you want to go. You ask a question. Sometimes you answer a question with a question if you don't like the question. There were two guys walking down the street in New York. One guy was a New Yorker, one from out of town, and the out-of-towner kept asking questions about New York City, and the New Yorker kept answering with questions. And after about 5 blocks, the out-of-towner stopped and said, you know, every time I ask you a question, you answer with another question. Why do you do that? And the New Yorker said, why do you ask? So I say that to impress upon you that questions are the answer. If you remember to answer questions with questions, you'll be able to move conversations in the direction that you want to go. Another handy tool that the question mark resembles is a tennis racket. If you just close it up a little bit, it's a tennis racket. It puts the ball back in someone's court. For instance, someone says, are you a Hindu? What do you say? Well, you might try to answer by explaining what a Hindu is, but even the Indian government doesn't know what a Hindu is. So you might have a difficult time doing that. Nobody knows what a Hindu is. Even a Hindu doesn't know. So explaining that is difficult. Bhrigupati Prabhu? Okay, he's answering a question with a question. I said, are you Hindu? And he said, what's your definition of a Hindu? He answered a question with a question. And effectively, he used his tennis racket to put the ball back in my court to say, what is a Hindu? And that might, I might have to reframe my question, right? Which brings us to the next tool, which is, it's like a looking glass. It helps you to define. If someone asks you a question that you can't answer, don't try to answer it. Just keep asking until you get the right question. What do you mean by that? 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 And then finally, when they give you the essence that you can answer, then you can answer them. These are all handy tools when you're going to communicate with people. What are some of them that I've said so far? Tools that you can take with you. Because I promise you these will work wherever you go. What are some that you remember? Bhrigupati. Ask questions, because whoever asks questions is leading the conversation. Right. What other tools? Kneel.
Don't deal with fanatics.
The first rule in dealing with fanatics is?
Don't.
You're not enthusiastic about not dealing with fanatics enough. I'm trying to save you about 10 years off your life. The first rule in dealing with fanatics is?
Don't.
I just saved you 10 years off your life. I hope you have a little appreciation. Okay. What other tools? Pardon me?
What is in for me?
What's in it for me? That's a radio station. Everyone's tuned in. WIIFM. What's in it for me? If you sit down and have a conversation with people, you want to find out, you know, how you can do benefit for them, then they'll be really interested. If you tell them, find out what their needs, interests, and concerns are, and tell them how you're going to help them. What's in it for them? What's in this book that's good for them? Bhrigupati.
Try to contact the receptive people, the ripe fruits.
Contact the receptive people, the ripe fruits. Thank you. Larry. Become a master asker, because you get what you ask for in life. What else? Tools. Bhrigupati's hog in the lane. Answer a question with a question, but not consistently. It's a principle. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Two more.
Ask a question that is going to be a yes response.
Ask a question that's going to be a yes. Okay. Sometimes you can ask a question that can be a no, and it's all right too. You don't mind giving a donation, do you? No. Okay, go ahead. Prem Sankirtan.
Live nice.
What is our prime directive? Were you going to say? Speak to the soul. Thank you. What else?
Speak as a soul.
What else? Speak truthfully. What else? Even one of these principles, you apply it anywhere, you'll notice it. Apply it. Yes. Leave everyone with a good impression. Yes, that's the one we say 10 times. Yes. Speak words that are unagitating. Yes.
Book distribution is fun and easy.
What did you learn in the seminar today? When you walk out the door, someone grabs you by the arm and says, all right, what's going on in there? What was it all about? And you say?
Book distribution is fun and easy.
That's right, it is. Who had one more? We'll take one last one. Bhrigu.
Remember Krishna and pray to him at every moment, realizing he's included on what you're
remember Krishna and pray to him at every moment, remembering that you don't know, you really don't know what you're doing. I think that's a key for me today. Yeah, just pray to Krishna, because we're instruments. We really don't know what we're doing. We're born into ignorance. We wander through this world in ignorance. And all we can do is pray to Krishna for guidance. No one can ask any more from you, any more than that from you. Okay. Next is, when you're speaking with people, assail the philosophy, not the person. And Prabhupada taught this to the devotees when they first went to India and met many different kinds of people who had allegiance with different teachers and gurus and things like that. And people would often say to them, what do you think of such and such? Sri Sachi Ananda Bhagavan Maharaj, what do you think of? And Prabhupada said, don't speak about the person, but ask them. They asked, do you believe in Sri Sachinandan Bhagavan Maharaj? And you say, oh, I don't know who Sri Sachinandan Bhagavan Maharaj is. What's his philosophy? Say that. What's his philosophy?
What's his philosophy?
So when you find out what the philosophy is, then you can actually deal with that. Rather than ad hominem, which means dealing with the, you know, a personal issue with the person, that will alienate people. But if you ask, what's his philosophy? What is he? I don't know what that person is. I don't know. But tell me his philosophy. Then you can deal with the issue, and you'll make headway in that way. Especially if you know our philosophy, which is recommended. Next point that will get you far in this world is learning how to thrive on rejection. You ever face rejection in life? Do you thrive on it? Well, if you learn to thrive on rejection, then you'll go further than anyone else, because everyone gets rejected. In every career, in every discipline, there's rejection. And some of the greatest success stories in the world are people who are able to thrive on rejection. How do you thrive on rejection? Let's find out. First of all, what is rejection? Interestingly, the word rejection comes from Latin, which means thrown back. You put in your manuscript to the publisher, and they throw it right back at you. And they say, no thanks, you stink, we don't like you, go home, quit writing, you're terrible. They throw it right back at you. And if when you go out and you show someone a book, they might just hand it right back to you, right? That might happen. Has it ever happened to anybody? You show them a book, they hand it back. That's the old throwback routine. That's what they're pulling on you. It's the old throwback routine called rejection. It's just throwback, and that's what people do, because the mind accepts and rejects all the time. One thing they accept 1 second, they reject the next minute. And you have to be ready for that. Learn how to thrive on rejection. And I'll give you some ideas of how to thrive on rejection. One way is to lower your expectations. Don't expect that everyone's a ripe fruit. Everyone's not a ripe fruit. Every fruit on the tree is not ripe. There are a few ripe fruits. In fact, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatiti siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kashchim mam veti tatvata. Out of millions of people, only one person becomes interested in self-realization. And out of those, only one person achieves success, is willing to go the distance. So it's a rare person. This is a rare thing. So don't expect that everyone's going to take what you have. Lower your expectation. Use rejection. See it as your friend, as an opportunity to practice tolerance and patience. To practice what?
Tolerance and patience.
Yes. To practice tolerance and patience. Now here's one you're going to really love. Remember the percentages. Now, baseball is a professional sport here in America and in Canada and in probably Mexico too. It is in Japan. I don't think it reached India yet. They have cricket. In baseball, anybody here know about baseball? Work with me, people. Okay. All right. So in baseball, someone who gets up at bat. Oh, let's ask Neil. Neil's an expert. In order to be considered a good hitter in the National Baseball League here in America, at every 10 at-bats, how many times does the batter have to hit the ball and get on base to be considered a really good batter? Neil. Around three. 3 out of 10. That means 7 times the guy strikes out. And you know what? If you can hit the ball 3 times out of 10 and get on base, you get paid, how much, Neil? A few million a year. Now, what if you hit the ball 3.5 times every time you get up to bat? How much do you get paid? Okay, it just moved up to 7 million. If you're up 3.75 times out of 10, how much do you get paid?
20 million.
20 billion. I saw 20 million. Some contract was just for 200 million. $250 million they're paying to a baseball player from what team? St. Louis to Anaheim. $250 million because he strikes out only 6.25 times every time he gets up at bat. So what I'm telling you is here, these percentages work wherever you go. And this will calm your mind in dealing with rejection. Because you don't have to hit the ball every single time. You just have to get on base a few times out of 10. If you get if you 3 out of 10, you're a multimillionaire. And even if people play for years, they only get 2 out of 10. So just go for the percentages. Don't worry. You don't have to get every single person every single time. And the more you do it, the more you practice, you'll increase your percentages. It's that simple. Now, when I teach new people going out on book distribution, what is the goal? I tell them, you need to get 10 no's in a row. 10 no's in a row, and you're considered successful. Could you do that? Anyone do that? Could you get 10 no's in a row? You could do that. That's doable, right? I think I could do that too. Get 10 people in a row to say, no, I'm not interested, and you do the old throwback routine and do the rejection on you. If you can get 10 people in a row, then you're successful. So what happened? We did that in Denver, Colorado a few years ago. We took out some new people as an experiment. We said, we don't want you to distribute books today. We want you to get 10 people in a row to say no. And as soon as you get 10 people in a row to say no, then you can stop. And they never got there. They kept starting over again. Almost had it, and start over again. So reframe your idea of rejection. Handling objections. Now this word objection comes from Latin also. Here's what it means. Things presented to the mind. That's the literal meaning of objection, from the word objectum. Things presented to the mind. So here are some of the objections. I'm just listing a few of them, and we can add on if you like, and I'll tell you how I deal with them, and we take some help from some of the other devotees as well. Have you ever heard this one? No time. Here, have a look at this. No time. Prabhupada mentions this. When he first went out to distribute books himself in New Delhi, he wrote an article in one of his Back to Godhead magazines that said, chronic disease of modern man? No time. That's the chronic disease of modern man. So people say that all the time. So when people say, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time, I answer that, are you in a hurry? Are you in a big hurry? Say, I'm asking a question. And what's a question? It's a hook, right? So people, I don't have time, I'm in a hurry. You don't have time, you're in a big hurry? So what do they have to do when I ask a question? they have to give an answer, right? So they can say, yeah, I'm in a hurry. Then I'll say, do you want me to show you really quick? Now, if they say yes, then I just show them the 5-second version, spiritual books, meant to wake up love for God. And we're only doing it for donations, so you can offer something if you like. And it's over. I'm in a hurry. Are you in a big hurry? Yes, I am. You want me to show you really fast? You want me to give you the 5-second version? Okay, give me the 5-second version. Yes, spiritual books. And we're doing this to spread spiritual vibrations all over the world. We just take a donation. Would you like to help? Over. Brigo? No time. He says, yeah, I'm also in a rush. I'll show it to you really fast. Anyone else? Okay. I say, I don't have time and I'm in a hurry. You say, come on. Yeah, I'm in a big hurry. Do you want me to show you the 5-second version? Ask another question. That's another hook. You want to use a hook, right? I'm in a hurry. Yeah, I'm in a big hurry. Very good. Yes. Could we use the microphone? It's being broadcast. Could someone write these down? I'd like to, any of the extra ones we want to collect, please collect them. And this is another key for developing in the art of book distribution. Everywhere you go, find people who are good at it and sit down with them and ask them what they're saying. You know, Prabhupada used to do this all the time on the morning walks. He would ask the book distributors. He would say, so what are you saying? And what are they saying? He always loved to hear it because he was a book distributor. He did it all the time. And so he wanted to hear what was going on. And if you go sit down and keep a notebook and write down what all the other distributors are saying, you'll collect a treasure trove of ideas for how to present. And then just practice them when you go out. Just practice. It's fun and easy. Next is, I'm not interested. You ever hear this one? So they say, I'm not interested, and I say, perfect, we're showing these to everyone who's not interested. You qualify. Brigo? This is very common. Different religion, philosophy, belief. So when people say that I'm, they have a what we call a designation. They're already designated. So when I show them the book, they say, oh, I can't take this. Immediately they reject it because they say, I'm a
Christian.
I'm a
Muslim.
I'm a I'm a
atheist.
You can make a whole list of them, right? And so, like, I'll give you an example of how I deal with this. One day, I was going door to door in an apartment complex, and I met a young Muslim man who was very enthusiastic and interested in the Bhagavad Gita. So he donated 4 cans of orange soda, $4.25 in change, a Koran, and a book about the Koran. So we accepted all these donations, and he took the Bhagavad Gita, and I walked away, and about a half hour later, I was walking down through the parking lot, and I saw another man, so I asked him if he lived there, and I said, I'd like to show him a book. So I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, no thanks, I'm a Muslim. So I immediately took the book back. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Here. And I took out the Koran. And I said, here's the Koran. And he said, I'm a Muslim. I have the Koran. And then I put the Koran back and I said, yeah, I bet you don't have this. And it was a book about the Koran. So I handed him the book about the Quran, and I said, so we just take a donation. And he gave a donation. And they said, here, you might as well take the Bhagavad Gita also. It's got some spiritual knowledge that you can add it to your library. And he took that too. So the point was, then I developed an ongoing technique, not that I carry around books about the Quran anymore, but here's an example of how this works. If I could have one volunteer. Bhakti Larry, would you volunteer to come up here? If you would just stand right here, I'll do a small demonstration. I'm going to show you a book, and as soon as I show you, you reject it based on some kind of designation. Okay. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress.
I'm sorry, I gotta go to school.
No, based on a designation. Oh. For instance, you take the book in your hand and go, oh, no thanks, I'm a Muslim.
Okay.
Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Oh, okay, no problem. Here you go. Now, I give him a different book with the expression, and I'm telegraphing that, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'll give you the other book. And so, whatever designation it is, now you're another designation. Speak up a little louder. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Okay, here, wait, hold on. Thank you for letting me know. Here you go. Books meant to wake up pure love for God in your heart. Thank you very much. Give Larry a hand. Hare Krishna. Bhrigupati. Nice. Answer question with a question, make it specific. Yes. And when somebody rejects a book, you can't push the same book back because the mind's already rejected it. But you can, I guarantee you this, show them the next book. Different color, different size, doesn't matter what it is. In Hong Kong, I was on the wharf with a group of devotees and we were distributing books. And I showed a man a book, and he handed it back to me as we were talking. So I took it back, and I had seven different books. And he handed the book back, and just as we were talking, I handed him the next book. And he handed that back, and I put it at the bottom of the pile, and I handed him the next book. And I went through seven books, and he finally, at the seventh book, he gave a donation, and he took the book. So it's not that, someone... they look at the book and then they have some designation, they have some idea to reject it, and they say, here, take it back. And I say, no, keep it. Whatever resists, persists. And so if you push it back, Badarayana, Prabhu.
Yeah, just that principle, this is not so much a technique but an attitude, is that you're not hearing the notes, you just don't hear the notes. You're keeping in mind your directive.
Okay, good one. And Brigo, and then Sachin Anoy?
Superficial to understand that he was killed. And I just said, Lord Jesus is Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, superficial to understand that he was killed. And I just said, look, that's probably perhaps comes to resurrection. But, you know.
speak on the science of self-realization, and I open to that chapter, Christ, Krishna, and Christians. Well, that one section of the chapter, understanding Krishna and Christ. And I read this at the one paragraph towards the end, that Jesus Christ was such a great personality of the Son of God, he had no fault. He wanted to deliver God consciousness, but they crucified him. They could not appreciate his preaching. But we appreciate his preaching and give him all honor as a representative of God. I'm going to skip a paragraph. So, once the ministers in Melbourne asked us, what is your idea of Jesus Christ? So Papa said, so I said, he's our spiritual, he's our group. He's preaching God consciousness, he's our group. I just read him that. And I said, so the same thing. I said, that's all, you know, right? And she took it and gave a nice definition. And, you know, that was said, that happened a bunch of times. So sometimes if you know the books well enough, you can actually just in a very, not confrontational way, but just in a very nice way like that, just a simple way, just read them that. And then just leave it up to Krishna. As if they, you know, if they're fortunate, they'll take it. If they're not, they won't. But at least you've done everything you could, and you did it exactly according to where Prabhupada suggested. Just trying to distribute the book on the merit of the book.
This is brilliant, and also when we're studying the books, you can look for sections that are especially good for representing to others when you meet them, and you can tell them about the book. I used to use the completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated. This book propounds the highest truth, which is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the benefit of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, he becomes attached to the Supreme Lord. And just by saying that, they would take the book on the merit of the shloka. And Prabhupada told us that we could use the shloka Krishne Swab Damo Pagate Dharmaganadi Pisaha, that this Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, it's risen after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. Very nice points. Sachin Anoy.
I would say that first I will open up by saying I'm not here to convert you. This is universal. This is for all religions. And you might agree that, you know, knowledge, like in our book says, there's nothing so sublime as pure as transcendental knowledge. So, like gold, you can get it from anywhere. So knowledge, you can get it from anywhere. So this is just to help you to expand your intellect and your knowledge about how all cultures will reveal to you the same truth that we're looking for. Just like that.
Did you all write that down? Got it? Okay. How about no money? Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
So there are a few things that I say. They say, I don't have any money. I say, what do you have? And they say, I don't have any cash. And I say, oh, that's good. Generally, we don't take cash. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, or Diners Club. Or people say, I don't have any money. And I say, that's all right. Just give what you can. Because generally, when they say they don't have any money, they mean they're not sure how much they should give. They get confused. I don't have any money for you. And then if we say, well, that's all right, just give a penny, then oftentimes people give a lot more than that. We coined this principle called the penny principle. And Bhakti Kumar was going door to door two Decembers from the last one. And he went to one door with the Bhagavad Gita. And we had an order out that no book left behind. All the books had to go. And don't bring back any. So he was going door to door distributing the books, and the person said, I don't have any money. And he said, well, just give something. And he said, I don't have anything. He said, just give a penny. So the man said, a penny? So he went to the back of his apartment. He was searching for a penny, and his wife came out and said, what are you looking for? He said, a penny. What do you want a penny for? Well, this guy at the front door, he showed me this book, and he asked for a donation. And he said, I could give a penny. So I'm giving him a penny for this book. She said, that's a beautiful book. You can't give him a penny for that book. That's ridiculous. And she brought him back out to the door and made him give $50. And he came running up with a check. I got $50 and I asked for a penny. So this is what is called the penny principle. You may start with asking for a penny, but it turns into much, much more. And Krishna talks about the penny principle in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Neha bikramanashosti, pratyavayona vidyate, swalpam apyasya dharmasya, trayate mahato bhayat. That if you just give a penny, just start off with one tiny little step in the direction of devotional service, and you're started and you're going. And anything can happen from there. Prabhupada tells a story about a brahmachari going door to door collecting alms for the temple. And the husband and wife are having a fight inside. So when he opens the door, they're in a really bad mood. So the husband says to the wife, give him some ashes and tell him to leave. So out of the stove, she takes a handful of ashes, puts it in his cloth and says, now go. So the brahmachari is very intelligent. He takes the ashes back to the temple and gives them to the pujari, and he can use ashes to polish brass, and says, use this to polish the deity's brass. So every day he takes some of the ashes and he's polishing the brass. And several months later, the brahmachari goes back door to door and he meets the same couple. And they open the door and, please come in, and they fall at his feet, please forgive us for our offense. And Prabhupada said, from one pinch of ash, back home, back to Godhead. So this is the penny principle. You can start with just a little bit, whatever they can give. Already have it. Already know it. I already have it. I already know it. So one of the ones we meet sometimes, if we show the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes with Indian people, they'll say, I already know Bhagavad Gita, I already have Bhagavad Gita. And I learned this from Vijay, but he said, okay, great, I'll give you a quiz. Since you already have it, you already know it, I'll give you a quiz, and if you pass, we'll let you go. And then he turns to this picture of the avatars. He says, if you can name all the avatars, we'll let you go, otherwise you have to take another one. And when people say to me, I already know it, I say, yeah, I could tell by looking at you. You look very learned. And this is something I respond quite frequently when people say that I already have it, I already know it, and I say, yeah, I could tell by looking at you. You look like someone who already has it, that you already know this. And then I keep going because there's much more to know. And if I reject them or if I try to convince them that, no, you don't know this, then whatever resists, persists. So it's like Tai Chi. A very small old man who knows Tai Chi and all the different balance points can take on somebody five times his size who's even stronger. So you're using the energy of the other person and directing it in the way that will get the result that you're looking for. So when someone says, I already have a qualification, acknowledge the qualification. Acknowledge the excuse that they're giving and don't push it back, and that keeps you going. So there's many more different kinds of objections. Those are a few samples, and the reason I give you those is to give you an idea that there's an answer for everything. And just because you don't know what it is right now doesn't mean that you can't learn it, and you develop your repertoire as you go forward, and that will give you more confidence and an edge, and you will learn these things as you go forward. Bhrigupati.
Another straightforward response I've been using to that one, when they say, I already have it, usually that happens to Bhagavad Gita. So I just ask them, as it is, just, generally they need to have some little wish for the one maskara, the condition of anthem books or something like that. So as it is, and they go, no, I have a little one, it's better than this. I say, well, recently call this one as it is because he bought it from Shrimad Prabhupada's scripture. He's an unbroken chain of teachers, and I show him that verse from the Bhagavad Gita to the succession, an unbroken chain of teachers that goes back 5,000 years to the original author, the original speaker. It's called a parampara, or the cyclic succession. And the idea is that when you read this book, it's just like you're there. I mean, it's just like you're there hearing from the original author. There's nothing added, there's nothing subtracted, there's nothing changed. I mean, people who read this edition of Bhagavad Gita, they've actually seriously started practicing yoga, and this one actually works. your life will change when you read this edition. Straightforward, here's your chance to glorify God, glorify the principle of the just succession.
Thank you. Questions or reflections? Yes, Vedavit Prabhu. Microphone back. Briga, pass that mic. You should leave them with a good impression. So you have to judge from each person what their actual mood is and demeanor and how they're saying that they're not interested. And just like when you're picking a fruit, you might test it a little bit just by, you know, feeling it to see. And the main principle is if you remain detached, it's quite attractive to people because when you don't chase after someone, they start feeling like you have something very valuable. I got used to standing in one place in the airport for many years because I had a booth and I couldn't leave the booth. That was the rule. I had to stay behind the booth and I had to somehow attract people to come over and then talk to them to take a book. So I couldn't chase after them or walk with them. And so after a while, I got used to the fact of just staying in one place and letting people come to me and having a detached mood. And I found that with that kind of presentation, people were more attracted because I wasn't pursuing them. So when someone says they're not interested, then judging from the circumstance and the person, then you can just leave them with a good word. Someone says they're in a hurry, it doesn't mean we have to use this technique, but if you can tell that they're in very much in a hurry, then just wish them a good day and let them go. And take the path of least resistance. I'm giving these techniques for borderline cases, but in general, if you have more of a preponderance for letting people go, then you'll start developing this sense that if I let the people go who are borderline, then I'll find more people who are very interested. And if you just wait for those kinds of people, you'll do fine also. Did that help? Okay. Any other question? Yes.
Would you say it's the single most important thing you've said in this whole presentation?
The question was, what is the single most important thing that I said in the entire presentation so far? And that is that it's not a technique, but it's based on your desire. If you have a strong desire to give this to people, then you'll figure out a way. Srila Prabhupada said that every devotee has their own genius of how to present this. And these techniques and ideas and ways of presenting are just some basic ideas that you can use to get started, but everyone can develop their own means according to their desire. What Prabhupada did say, when our party was going around teaching people about book distribution, both Gopa Vrindapal and Tripurari Maharaj asked Prabhupada, what should we teach the devotees? And he said, teach them to be sincere. Because if they're sincere, then Krishna will give them genius from within their heart of how to present. Prem Sankirtan?
Said something about Bhagavad Gita to my son. I said, oh, I heard it already, Bhagavad Gita. And I said, you know, this is as it is. There's around 645 versions of Bhagavad Gita in Europe, and from Europe. And all these people in India also. And so I find out on Dandavan somewhere, there's 645 versions of Bhagavad Gita. So this one is original. And there I mean, oh, really? So it's the work, if you see this work, 645.
Thank you, Prem Sankirtan. Yes. Question from Gunita?
Hare Krishna. beings told me that I don't have to be upset about it because it's very beneficial already. The person holds the book, and it's very possible a person when it comes to Krishna consciousness. And that person, is that right? Like, if
yes.
The person just holds the book.
Yes.
It's already beneficial, so you don't have to be like really upset that the person gave you back.
That's correct. One thing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told his all his disciples was they should go out from the temple every day and knock on at least four doors and bring some literature and speak Harikatha. And he said that even if they don't take it, they'll get benefit because they just saw you out there that, and they'll think that, oh, someone's out here presenting about God. And it'll make them remember what's the importance of this thing. And Prabhupada mentioned also too that if they just come in contact with it, if they just touch it, and they may see part of it, or that there's great benefit. Rameshwar Prabhu, when he was here last time, had a quote that if they touch the book, then they'll get great benefit, Prabhupada said. So yeah, the activity in and of itself is meritorious, just presenting. Now we have a few more minutes, so I'm going to give you some basic guidelines of presenting a book, going door to door. And here's a few things. If you're going out today for the first time or you feel nervous, no distribution, just watch. Just go out and be part of it and have fun. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to produce at all. You can just go and have fun. Our first goal today is troop movement. Because one of the principles of book distribution and increasing it is getting a lot of people each doing a little bit. So we have a start today. We have a group of us together, so we're going to experiment what it takes to move all of us from one place to another place. And that's the hardest part about Sankirtan. The rest of it's easy. It's how to get there. So if we can go to our spots, and I've been assured by some of the experts here that we have spots already picked out. Is that correct? You have spots. You have the addresses, everything written down. It's all planned out, right? Yes. Okay, so we're going to have a logistical challenge, and that is to get everyone into who wants to go from this point to the points where we're going out to. And once we do that, and we get out of the vehicles and cars and everything, and we touch the pavement, then our goal is met. Is that okay? Is that good or good? Okay, it's good. Now, if your phone goes off during the class, then you have to pay $5 for a Shriyash Upanishad. So I just did one book. No, just... It's okay. So this is the goal, to move us all as efficiently as possible and safely as possible with books in hand from this point, the temple, to the designated places that we're going, and that's the success of the day. That's all we're trying to do today. Is that okay?
All right,
so that's easy. Anything that happens after that is extra. Just extra. Sachin Anoy?
Yeah. I have an observation.
Use the microphone.
If you first approach it with a big book,
this is the first impression you're going to have, right? Because you're going knocking the door, you have a big book, and you're expecting them to have, you know, all these things that you say to leave them with a good impression, and at the same time, be kind, be gentle, be accurate. But you know you want that book to be, how you say, like, valued properly, to respect his own good relation, not least to pay for the cost. So how would you train yourself to deal with this, the boys, to start with a small book, to start with a big book, and you don't want that person, they say, well, you know, not very often happens, but sometimes someone may say, oh, you're selling your religion. A couple times, oh, you're selling your religion. I want it, but I don't have money. Can I have it? So...
Yes, I understand. So, first of all, we have to understand what donations are and what money is. Money is a token. It's paper. And credit cards are just numbers in a machine. And coins are made out of plastic nowadays. Did you know that? You knew that? Okay, I didn't want you to feel ripped off later. Okay. It used to be made out of, you know, metal and silver and everything, but it's actually plastic now. They mix it in with everything. So it's just a token. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that you should not give this knowledge to anyone who's... don't give it to someone who's not devoted or austere. Do you recall that verse from the Bhagavad Gita? Don't teach this to people who aren't devoted or austere. So when we present a book to somebody and we ask them for a donation, we're just asking them to show a little devotion. And it's an austerity to give some donation. So in 1 second, we actually give them qualification to read and understand the book. They are devoted, both devoted and austere when they offer a donation. They pay something. It's a token to show, to create this kind of feeling in them. That's why we ask for the donation. Now, some people don't have any money. There's possible that there's somebody in Los Angeles that doesn't have any money. I doubt it, but there probably is somebody here. And in that case, a student or somebody like that, they can also pay with their attention. If they pay attention, that's another token. As far as I'm concerned, it's just as good as money because they paid attention. Do you pay attention? Are you interested? There's some austerity. They took their time to look at the book, to pay attention, and therefore, if they can't pay for it, we let them have it because they're going to read it, and they paid for it with their attention. And will we make up for it some other way, Savas?
Yes.
Definitely. It all comes. When you distribute books, you'll find, when you have this liberal attitude and you let books go out for people who you know that they have some appreciation for it, but they just can't pay right now with money, but they can pay with their attention or some other way, then we let them have the book. So what I do, I'm very straightforward with people when I ask for a donation. I say, so now, we don't sell the book like in a store, but we accept donations. And the reason we ask for donations is because it completes a spiritual circle between us. And when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you get what's called sukriti. It's this spiritual power to be able to read and understand the book. Is that what I say, Vedavit? That's what I say, right? I'm telling you exactly what I say to people when I present a book. I just tell them straightforwardly why I'm asking for it. I say, we don't need the money. I don't need the money. And the only reason we ask is when you give, it completes the circle and it gives you the power to read the book, read and understand the book. So now if they say, well, I'm not interested in the book, I really don't want it, I have, you know, then we don't have to leave it there. But what we can leave is a good impression. As an example, I met a honeymoon couple in Hawaii on Kalakaua Avenue when I was presenting to them. I was in a dhoti and I showed them a first canto of Bhagavatam, and they said, after I gave the presentation, we're Christians and we're not interested, and we also don't want to give to your cause because we give to our own church. And with a joyful heart, I accepted the book back and I said, I want to thank you for taking your valuable time, and it's been an honor to meet you. And I shook their hand, the hand of both of them, their hands, and we went away with a good feeling. And a half hour later, I saw them in the corner of my eye while I was talking to someone else, and they approached me, And they said, we changed our mind. We'd like to give a donation. And they said, here's $5. And I said, well, here, please take the book. And they said, no, we can't take it. And I said, well, I have a problem because we can't take money without giving something in return. So they accepted. They said, all right, we'll accept that. And they took it. But my point was this, that by leaving a good impression with people, you've done something tangible. It's not that it's just tangible if you sell the book and they give a donation. The tangible thing is that you make a connection with people. We're going out as ambassadors of goodwill. And you make that connection, whether they stop or don't stop, leave them with a good impression. Learn how to do that. When people are walking down the street, learn how to back off and smile and just let them go. That leaves a good impression. Leave a good impression if they can't donate, but they want the book. Let them have the book. If in any circumstance, be straightforward with them. Be honest. Tell the truth. Practice the austerities of speech. And you'll find that if you go out of your way to make a good impression with each person, then you'll have an aura around you that people will be attracted to. And the donation just becomes automatic. People want to give their whole life. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, how much should I give? I say, some people give their whole life. You just give the most you can. Where there's no minimum, but more importantly, there's no maximum. We can't stop you if you want to give everything you have. You know, this is the kind of mood. It's the sort of mood. It's just open. It's like the money is insignificant. We'll accept it if that's all you have. We want your whole life. But if all you can do is just give all your money, we'll deal with it somehow. We'll somehow deal with it. We'll take it off your hands because it's a burden to take people's money. And that's why you should not misspend it. If can't misspend a penny that somebody gives you. You have to take it and give it to Krishna because it's Krishna's money. And we're taking it for him and we're engaging in his service. So I'm going to tell you a few things that I do to present a Bhagavad Gita. And that will give you a couple basic ideas for when we go out. And the first thing is that there's everything you need in and on the Bhagavad Gita to present it. In some companies, when you present a product, they have a flip book that you use. And you go through the flip book, and at the end, then you just, the sale's done, because you just show them everything on the flip book, and that's all you have to do is follow it. Has anybody ever done that before? No one's in sales here, huh? You've done it, Larry? Yeah, okay. So this is the product, and it is the flip book, all in one. You have everything you need. So, when I approach people, I always use my radar gun. And you have a special, powerful radar gun in the palm of your hand. And I want you to realize that you have some mystic power. So please raise your hand like this. And I want you to, come on, raise your hands. And then point it at somebody in the room, but not at me. The palm, not your finger. That's the cursing finger. The palm of the hand. Raise the palm of your hand and point it at somebody in the room. And now I'm going to give you a mantra that goes with it that's going to activate the power that comes out of the palm of your hand. And are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes.
Okay, now repeat after me. Here's the mantra. Sit up straight, point the hand. Hi.
Hi.
Now listen to the reaction. You can hear it. And everyone's smiling. Did you feel the energy bouncing around the room? You can feel it, right? And so can others. When you meet people, even door to door, I say hi. Or on the street, I say hi. And book distribution it's an act of consciousness. What you're looking for is consciousness. And people will relate to you consciously when they're walking down the street or any other place if you just make yourself known. Now they know you're there, but you just extend yourself this much, say, hi. And look at Larry smiling back at me because he was hit with this ray. He was, because I'm conscious, he's conscious. Now I say hi, there's an exchange between us and it can take place from 25, 50 feet away. Hi, and then I know, now it's a radar. With the radar gun, you see the policemen, they shoot it like this. And they're judging how fast you're going and what's happening with your vehicle. So you can tell when somebody's walking down the street. Now, if they don't want to look at you, don't say hi. Just wait till they know you're there, they look over, you say hi, and then you see the contact, and you'll see on their face, are they a ripe fruit? Are they open? Are they not? So someone who's not open, they may look away. Someone say hi to me. Larry, say hi. Ripe or unripe? Unripe fruit, right? Okay, now try it again. Use your radar now. See, that's much more powerful. Oh, hi, what are you doing out here? Ripe fruit or unripe?
Ripe.
Ripe fruit. So pick out your fruits, go down, hi, 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 hi. And you'll see, you go through, and how many out of 10 do you have to get that look back at you to be a millionaire? 3 out of 10? Shh. That's all you need. Out of 10 people who go by, you say hi. And for the ones that look at you, say hi. You get 3 people out of 10 stop. You're a millionaire book distributor. Okay? So next thing is, once I say hi, I ask a question, which is a qualifier. I say, are you from Los Angeles? Or better yet, I start off with, I'm from San Francisco. Where are you from? I tell them first, San Francisco, where are you from? And then they'll say, I'm from Hollywood, I'm from Redwood, I'm from wherever they're from. And whatever they say qualifies them to take a look at the book. Now say, show.
Show.
We're not selling the books, we're not giving the books, we are showing the books. So say, we're showing these.
Showing.
Say, show.
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 Sell.
Sell.
No, show. Not selling, give. No, show. I say give, you say show. Give.
Show.
Yeah, that's right. We're showing. And showing is an innocuous thing. You can show on television. You can show and tell when you're in school. That's all we're doing. We're just showing the books. And if you just show it, it's easy. So they're from Hollywood. I say, oh, great. You're qualified. I'll show you one. And I show them the book. Now, when I hand the book over, I give them a nutshell presentation, and I tell them what's in it for them. It's a book on yoga and meditation. That shows you how to get free from stress. It's a book on yoga and meditation that shows you how to get free from stress. It's a book on yoga and meditation that shows you how to get free from stress. It's a book on yoga and meditation that shows you how to get free from stress. Sarva, it's a book on yoga and meditation. It shows you how to get free from stress. Exactly. See, Sarva trained me up on book distribution in San Francisco, 1973. He took me out and showed me how to distribute books. He's my guru. So, nutshell presentation. While I'm handing the book over, I tell them, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. They take the book in their hand. Then I ask them a question, and a question is a... It's a hook. So I say, you've heard of stress before, right? Larry, have you heard of stress before? Because you don't look stressed to me. You look very spiritual and happy. It's your eyes. And it's a fact. Look at Larry's eyes. Larry, if you don't mind sharing, just turn around. He has very spiritual eyes. But you know what? If you look at anybody's eyes, you'll find out that there's a spirit soul looking back at you, because as soon as the spirit leaves the body, there's nobody looking back at you. And if you've ever been with somebody when they leave their body, you'll notice that they're there and then they're not there. And there's somebody home when they're looking out from the eyes. So all you have to do to be Krishna conscious all day long is look at their eyes and say, wow, your eyes are spiritual. And that's just what I say to people. I say, you know, your eyes are spiritual. Then I ask them, what's your secret? Everyone say, what's your secret?
What's your secret?
You ask what their secret is. You're bringing them in on this. You're asking for their advice. You're not a condescending person who's trying to preach to them, but you're sharing with them, and you want to learn from them. What's your secret? You tell me. I'm learning from you. So they say, they tell me what their secret is. What do they say, Gunita, because you're using this now? Like, what do they do?
I'm not stressed at all.
I'd be happy. And so people may give you some response like that. They say, yes, you know, I do yoga, or I'm just, I smoke marijuana. A lot of people say that. They do. They say that all the time. And then some people say, you know, and I say, oh, I can tell. And then if they say, I don't know, I don't have any secret, and I say, you must just come from a good family. You're a natural. And then, okay, I'm a natural. Then that's when I take the book back and I do the show and tell. Now, here's some of the things that you can show and tell. On the back of the book, there's Emerson, Thoreau, and Gandhi. Everyone say Emerson, Thoreau, and Gandhi. How about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Albert Einstein. The Beatles. I name all six. The Beatles and all the other ones, the last other ones I mentioned aren't on the book, but they read Bhagavad Gita. So I drop some names. I say Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles. Who hasn't heard of Albert Einstein and the Beatles? And most people have heard of Gandhi. So when they hear that, it builds credibility in the book. And the next thing I do is I turn to the front page and I show them the universities. I say, out of 645 editions of Bhagavad Gita, according to Prem Sankirtan, this has become the most popular academically, and I show them USC and Georgetown University. They're both listed here. Next thing is to turn to the pictures. And the first picture I show them is the changing bodies. I say, look it, we start here, we end up here, we're just passing through. And where are you in this? Come and show me. Where are you in this changing bodies? Let the record show that he said right here. That's a baby. So you get them involved and they can show you where they are. You better get Savas in here. He doesn't know what your age is. Okay. Then I show them this picture, this Vidyavinaya Sampane. It's got a great sage and he's seeing a dog and a cow and an elephant. I say, look it, a self-realized person treats everyone with respect as he or she sees God's in everyone's heart. Then I show them the horses. See these horses? I say, look it, the horses are the senses. They're very strong. They pull us in all different directions. But through the power of yoga, we can go the direction that we want in our life. Then I ask them, you've heard of karma before, right? Have you all heard of karma? What does it mean to you? Whoa! That's a good way to put it. What does it mean to y'all? Karma. Whoa! That's a good way to put it. What does it mean to you, Brigu? Whoa! That's a good way to put it. So now you ask me, what does karma mean to me? And when I tell you, I want you to lean back and say, whoa! That's a good way to put it. Okay, ask me. Brigu, you ask me. No, no, you know, stuff happens and things go around and, you know, whatever.
Whoa!
That's right. And that's exactly what you do. It's like a bomb going off. And you just get ready for it, whatever they say. Whoa! That's a good way to put it. And that brings me to the last. And I say, look, it. Here's what karma looks like graphically. Here's a man with a cow's head and a cow with a man's head. Violence breeds violence, but generosity breeds generosity. See that picture? And then I ask them, here's a little humor, I say, what kind of work do you do? And tell me your name again.
Fred.
Fred?
Fred.
Fred, what do you do?
Graphic design.
Look at, this guy used to do graphic design. So we show them this picture, we ask them specifically what they do, and they say, well, you know, I'm in the university. I say, what do you study in the university? Electronics. What kind of electronics? Well, you know, solid state. And you say, really? This guy was in solid state electronics. And half the people laugh right away, and the other half of the people say, really? And I say, no, not really. And then they laugh. And then as soon as they laugh, then I close the book and I hand it back to them. Because in the beginning, I've handed the book over, and I say, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? They say, yeah, I've heard of stress. I say, but your eyes look spiritual. What's your secret? They tell me their secret, and I say, great, I'll show you. And then I show them the back, the front, the pictures, that I tell a joke, and then I hand the book back to them as soon as they laugh, and I say, we don't sell the book, we take donations. And the reason we take donations is because it completes a spiritual circle. We don't need the money, but when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, then you get what's called sukriti. It's the power to be able to read the book. Now they give a donation. And after they give a donation, I say, you believe in the power of prayer, right? And they say? And then I say, great, I'll teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. If they say no, I say, perfect, I'll teach you a mantra. And if I hand them the card, and I say, please repeat after me, are you ready? Are you all ready?
Ready.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
You're naturals. So take the time to teach them the Maha Mantra. You'll find a very powerful experience when you do this. And then give them some prasadam. We have our prasadam ready for today? We have prasadam to give out to everybody that we meet, whether they take a book, don't take a book. Whoever you see, give them prasadam. What do we have? Dum-dums? We have 500 dum-dums which are offered to Krishna. Prabhupada authorized this back from Cleveland, 1973 or 4. He had, Bhatu Gopal was offering candy canes to the deities because he had seen the Salvation Army doing it around Christmas, and somebody complained and said, you can't do that. So they wrote to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, you can. And the letter's there in record. He said, you can offer these things. In India, they offer the sugar candy to the deities, and what is the harm, he said. So we'll take out these dum-dums, and even monkeys like them. In Vrindavan, I take them when I go on parikram, and monkeys sitting in front of the ashram, Bhaktivedanta ashram, and I'm walking in, so I threw him a lollipop. And here it is in slow motion how he did it. He had it unwrapped and in his mouth in one fell swoop. And not only that, John Sununu, who used to be the Secretary of State for the first Bush, I gave him a lollipop and he immediately took it open and had it in his mouth before I could even tell him about the book. So prasadam is very important. Distribute prasadam liberally. And there's no reason to leave the house without prasadam wherever you go. You can take it wherever you go. Give it to your bank tellers. Give it to people. You make a good impression. And that's a really good way to start a conversation with people and to make friends, is give out lots and lots of prasadam. Right, Neil? Neil's from ISKCON Silicon Valley. He's been one of our stalwarts there for many years. Now he's going to USC. He was brought here on a scholarship because he's a great scholar. So I want you all to give a great welcome to Neil Jariwala. Hare Krishna. He and his father have done door-to-door extensively all over the Silicon Valley. And his father is one of the great leaders of the book distribution party there in Silicon Valley. In fact, his whole family is, their house is Sankirtan Central. When we were moving from one smaller temple to a bigger one, we didn't know where to put all our books. So they said, put them in our house. And they turned their whole garage into Sankirtan Central, with hundreds of cars pulling up in front of their suburban house with their trunks open and their neighbors wondering what's going on at the Jariwala's house. And little did they know that became the Sankirtan Central, which became the base from which hundreds of thousands of books have gone out. Now he and his daughter, who are twins, are both off at college, and his parents are still there running the whole operation. So we're very happy to have Neil here with us today. Hare Krishna. So now comes the part where we're going to deploy to go out on the goal part of our seminar, which is what? To go from point A to point B and touch the pavement, right? And what is the plan?
We have a van.
Okay, we have a van. How many devotees would like to come from point A to point B and touch the pavement? Somebody make a count. Leela, would you count how many we have that want to come out? Now, we're just going out to touch the pavement. We're not doing anything else after that. There'll be no books distributed today, unless it just happens by chance. How many do we have?
12.
Okay. And one more here? 13? I'm coming. Did you count me?
14.
All right. Brigupati's coming?
15.
16? Krishna? Okay, we have about 20. 17 to 20? Yeah? Okay, so what do you have? what's the plan? You have a van? Okay, and you have some cars too, right?
Yeah, I have one car, and I can get
it. Who has a car? Bhrigupati has a car, so we have two cars. Vedavit Krishna Prabhu, who he and his wife are here. Would you two please stand up? They're from Laguna Beach, California. They've traveled to various places around America and set up Sankirtan parties. Right now they're a part of the Laguna Beach Sankirtan team. They're expert at organizing. They're expert at distributing. There'll be some of the leaders today who you can watch and find out how to do book distribution, fully trained in all the arts of book distribution. We welcome them. Wherever book distribution is going on, they'll be there. That's why they're here today. They drove up from Laguna Beach just to be here for the event. So we have several cars, and we have, what's the program with the books? All right, there it is. You heard it here first. We have boxes of books, so we're taking them all out of inventory so you know how many are there, so we can count them when we come back. Is that right?
Yeah. I think the best thing to do is we have these bags, six of these
bags. Okay.
And we have some bigger book bags for bigger books, and these things will double bag these. You can put small books in them.
Okay.
And just basically everybody just can take whatever books they think they want to try to distribute from those boxes over there, and then just hand in all your luxury.
And whatever books you have left over.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sure.
Okay. So now we're partway there. We have books over in the corner. You can load up with books. You have mantra cards also?
Okay.
Mantra cards?
Turn in the Lakshmi to me. So just to keep it simple and organized. So you can return the books here. The boxes will be right here. And just whatever books you distribute, just let me know and give the Lakshmi to me.
And mantra cards?
Yeah.
And prasadam is all here?
Prasadam's in my car right now.
Could you bring it here?
Right now.
Bring it here and the mantra card so everyone has a complete bag when they leave. And now where are we going?
And we'll also have there's some water bottles.
Okay, water so you stay hydrated when you come out. When we come back, which will be around 3:30, we're going to have prasadam, and we're also going to have a meeting so we can talk about what happened and share any of the news from today's experiences, okay? So, where are we going?
The address, Buck Josh. What's the address?
274 South.
Say it loud.
274 South Lafayette Park. It's on the third street.
274 South Lafayette Park Place.
Okay, do you have a backup? Okay, say it again.
The cross streets are third street and Lafayette.
What city?
Los Angeles.
And what's the address?
It's 274.
Yes.
South Lafayette. Yeah.
And what is there?
Apartment.
Did you look at them?
I used to live there.
Do they have security?
Not very.
Do you have to buzz in to get in the building? You're going to let us in.
My mom's going to let us in. She gave me the code for building across the
street. Okay, his mom's going to let us in, and he has the code for the building across the street. And what's our backup?
Shops on Vermont and Alvarado.
Are they nearby?
Yes.
How many apartment units are in your complex?
There's three floors, and there's maybe
30 on each floor and three floors? Okay, so we have several hundred that we can work with. Is that correct?
Yeah, but then there's like a lot of apartment buildings.
All right. Okay, so we're confident in the spot. We got the books. So everyone, please come over, and Bhrigupati will give you a bag, and then you can load it up with books. Take some Bhagavad Gitas and take a variety of small books with you. And I would also like to... when we go right outside, just while we're outside, we're going to choose up teams. And in the teams, we're going to... Vedavit, outside I need help. We want to divide up into teams, and we want to make sure there's team leaders with every with each team, okay? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, very much for coming today. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We'll see you all outside in a minute. Hare Krishna.